Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Forgive me, last night I had, the night before last night, I'd suffered some kind of a vocal strain. I had gone to my ear, nose, throat.
But it's more than that, right?
Bud, you know.
Well, ear, nose, and throat.
Ear, nose, throat, yes. These guys keep saying there's got to be more than that. What does that mean, there's got to be more than that?
Well, the doctor is the ear, nose, throat.
Yeah.
And what else?
Ear, nose, and throat. Doesn't mean he doesn't know anything about the rest of the body. It means that that's his specialty. You go to an ear, nose, and throat guy.
But that's all he knows about.
No, that's not all he knows. To get a medical degree, you have to know basic medical, shall we say, you have to have a basic medical working knowledge of the human body and the human immune system and treatment of illness and injury. All right, so it doesn't mean you know brain surgery. It doesn't mean that you know how to deal with skin cancer. You have areas of specialty. And in this specialty, there are doctors who know the ear, the nose, and the throat.
Why? See, that's what you don't explain that.
Yeah, what do they got to do with each other?
What do they got to do with each other? Well, let's think about it. Ear, nose, and throat. The nose and the throat and the ears all have canals that sort of meet in the same place.
Where?
Just down there in the throat, man. Where? When you get a cold, where does it go?
Well, it goes away.
It goes away if you use it. Yeah, hey, all right, give me five.
Yeah, all right.
Get out of here. Give me five. Where does it go? It goes into your throat and it goes into your nose and it goes into your,
butt.
I'm going to belt you, man. You know I will, too.
Sorry.
You want to ask me a question, you want to make a joke about it. See me raising my voice? Do you see what you guys are doing now? I'm raising my voice. You did this to me, bud. If I lose my throat tonight, if I lose my voice tonight, you did it. That will be on you, not me, you.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I hope you feel bad.
I'm sorry. I don't want to hurt you, Phil.
Then just knock it off, okay?
Yeah, he's upset, man. I really am sorry.
Knock it off, okay?
Yes, sir.
God. It's like, man, we're starting a show and I got to go put you in freaking counseling or something. So anyway, the night before last, something happened during one of the bits where I just lost lost my ability to speak. And not being a cigarette smoker anymore, and frankly, taking way better care of my health, at least in terms of what I eat. I couldn't imagine what it was, and it turned out that I had a little vocal nodules. And now, that's not as serious as it sounds. Vocal nodules they're like, if I may describe them as such, like calluses that you get on your hands if you misuse or if you use your hands in a way that will injure them or create that kind of condition. You have to stop. If you have calluses on your hands, for instance, from using a shovel, then you need to put on gloves or otherwise just keep using that shovel until it doesn't bother you anymore. With your voice, it's different. You don't want those there because it eliminates the elasticity of the vocal cords, and so you can't...
Tell the people, you were telling me last night about how you can't go way up high.
Yeah, when you go...
Right, right. You can't... Can't do that, you know?
Do it again.
Don't start laughing. That's a falsetto. Okay?
Yeah, no, I mean, you can't do with the vocalism or whatever it is.
Vocal nodules. Yeah, you can't. And for many years, I was not able to until I went into speech therapy. I literally had to have speech therapy. I had to learn how to do all these vocal exercises. And I went to this guy, this teacher, and he said to me something that was nobody had ever said to me before. He said, if you have laryngitis, you got to work through it. I said, well, what do you mean? He says, you know, if you have laryngitis, you talk like that, well, then you got to sharpen your voice up and make it. He said, make your voice come out, you know, make it happen, you know. I said, well, you can't go up high or anything. He says, no, but you can be heard and understood, which is completely the opposite of what I used to be told, which was rest your throat, rest your throat. Now, that was my vote. The other day, the doctor said to me, you need to rest your throat, because he said you could literally start to hemorrhage, you know, in the throat area. So, make a long story short, that's what happened. I feel a hell of a lot better tonight. In fact, I think I sound better. What do you think?
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, it ain't bad.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Well, it's not, you know, I can sit here and go, oh, God.
I'm not asking you to sit there and go, oh, God. I just, you know, does it sound passable?
But sometimes when I listen to you, you sound like, and I shouldn't put it this way, but I think it's important. It sounds like you're having a hard time, you know.
Yeah, it sounds like you're trying to push out a, you know, like in the morning when you're trying to push one out. It's like, that's, you know.
Yeah.
What are you cats talking about now? I'm asking you.
No, in the morning, though, when you...
I know about in the morning. What are you telling me?
It sounds like you go like this. Yeah, I'm still angry.
Yeah.
Well, are you kidding?
No, man, I swear to God. Somebody goes, yeah, this is Phil Henry.
Yeah, I don't know. That may have something to do with me trying to project or something.
I think it is you trying to project onto others. Or not, well...
I'm not talking about psychological projection, all right?
No, I mean projecting the voice.
Yeah. It could very well be me trying to project my voice that I'm going like that, trying to push a bowel movement out.
That's what it sounds like.
All right, in any event, tonight, folks, we're going to be talking about a number of things that are in the news. One of them was this attack in Libya. There's also some personal stories that kind of go along with that, having to do with the people that were killed, and it's a drag. There was a bank robbery here in the city of Los Angeles where the bank robbers were throwing money out the window, and the people were coming out of their houses to get this money, and which is a very normal instinct. We will be talking with a couple of people who resisted the temptation. And we also have this is sort of interesting from the standpoint that not anybody I know, in fact, no one actually detected this. There was on Monday a foul odor that wouldn't go away.
Robert,
shut up, man.
Come on, will you?
No, it was you, man. You're the foul odor.
All right. Southern California awoke on Monday morning to a foul odor that wouldn't go away. Finally, Mayor Villagrosa said, I am leaving for a couple of days to go... No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you made a joke.
All right, I can do that. Southern California woke Monday morning to a foul odor that wouldn't go away until they said they're shooting on location and...
All right.
Anyway, residents clogged 9/11 lines with calls prompting health officials from Ventura County to Palm Springs to send out investigators in search of the source. By Monday evening, the leading theory was that the stink was caused by the animal die-off of fish in the Salton Sea.
That's the place you were talking about.
Yes, the Salton Sea is a place that I'm very familiar with because I used to own a place. I had a condo in Palm Desert. And I spent a lot of time in Palm Desert playing golf and doing what you can imagine. You're a single guy and you have a golf condo and it's just down the street from the dance club at the Marriott Desert Springs. And you can well imagine what that time in my life was like. So anyway.
Well, then what are you doing at the Salton Sea?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, you're going down and dancing the night away.
Yeah, swaying to the beat, you know.
I was swaying to the beat. Don't worry about it. But the Salton Sea was a place where you go down and cruise around. I don't know. It was kind of weird. People would go down there and look it over and, like, check it out. It was just – the people you meet cruising around the Salton Sea and hanging out there are they exist.
You're one of them.
And I'm one of them, yeah. I admit I'm one of them. Let me just tell you so you guys know. The Salton Sea is, as you would imagine, a large lake in the interior desert of Southern California that is saltwater. Not unlike, you know, the Great Salt Lake and other places like that. The only difference is that the Salton Sea also is a sort of a runoff basin for a lot of the agricultural water and waste from the Imperial Valley, which is down near San Diego. As the result, the Salton Sea has become at times a rather putrid place, and yet, there are fish that survive there. One of them is called a corvina, I think, or corvina. I don't know if I got it right.
I think a corvina is a car.
Corvina is a car, and a corvina is the...
Yeah, it's a fish.
Well, whatever. The corvina is actually a pretty decent-sized fish. It's very... my understanding is that fishermen like it. There are guys that go out and fish for this particular piece of marine life, this particular piece of fishdom. So it goes. And they had a hell of a time when the Salton Sea was finally determined to be a place, hey, let's turn this into a resort location. That's what some bright genius wanted to do. They had a hell of a time introducing marine life there that took hold. They tried different kinds of shellfish. They tried a kind of a shrimp. They tried other kinds of fish. Nothing lived until this Corbina. Now then, the Salton Sea was formed, by the way, by a flood from Baja California. And I don't know any more about it than that, you know.
Well, it must have took place like when? Like back in the 19th century or something?
No, probably back before there was human beings.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Bud's right. Maybe you're right. I think it was actually of recent origin, this flood. So, to make a long story short, in the 1960s, they decided they wanted to turn the Salton Sea into a resort destination. And they, they promoted it on television. And they had all kinds of houses you could buy. And they were promoting a marina. And they had a this and a that. And there was water skiing. And there was fishing. And there was golf nearby. And there was a... Never took off. So today, it's like this really interesting ghost town, man. When you go down to the Salton Sea, here's this large sea, this large inland saltwater lake. The smell of it is both rank and sort of prehistoric. I don't know how to, you know.
Well, it smells like dinosaur?
What is that?
Well, I don't. When I say prehistoric, it's almost as if you're in a prehistoric setting, the way the desert looks around there. And then you go around the other side of the lake, and here are these lots that they had laid out for the homes with the electrical run-in and the plumbing run-in, but nothing built. Then you go down to the marina that was built. It's half underwater now. I think there's a village of squatters that lives down there that is kind of, you know, interesting. So there's these kind of weird people that hang out. You're like, hey, how you doing? Real good. Nice day today, isn't it? You know, they have, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it.
Kind of like, do they limp?
Yeah, I bet you they're all limping along, man. Like, maybe they got some genetic disease, you know.
What do you mean genetic disease? What is that about?
Right, on account of the runoff out of Imperial Valley.
That ain't some radioactive waste or anything, man. Although, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, see?
No, I don't see. So anyway, that is a very strange body of water. Now, according to the LA Times article today, they say there is an animal die-off of fish in the Salton Sea. It could very well be the case. It may happen when some of this wastewater runs in from the Imperial Valley. It may just be an annual die-off of a particular species. And you combine the heat of the desert, you combine the winds that'll come in from the desert, and the fact that, you know, things will decay out there in right conditions if they've got water, you know. It's not like it's laying in the desert and just becomes bones. It sits there and sort of putrefies. It's going to stink, man, and it's going to stink bad. And when I look at you, Robert, and I say that, and my eyes start watering.
Get out of here, man. I take showers every day.
All right, okay. It's my fault. All right, we'll be right back. We'll have more for you on this and other things tonight. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Is that the Salton Sea or is that Robert?
Shut up.
All right, we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
That's a good line,
he's
though.
He's our bitch.
Is that the Salton Sea or you? Show.
Yeah, is that the Salton Sea or your underwear?
Oh, that's real adult.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here. 877-876-7445 is our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We got Mr. Fine on line three, Jim Fine, who for the longest time ran a fishing camp at Big Bear Lake in the foothills, or not the foothills, Big Bear is in the actual San Bernardino Mountains. I was thinking of when I think of the foothills out there, I guess I'm thinking of Lake Arrowhead or something like that. And we got him on our newsmaker line. Got him on our newsmaker line tonight, Jim. Did you hear what we were talking about?
Well, I heard a little bit of the film, and I was thinking of the fish camp that they had at the Salton Sea. This was in 1966. That's what you were asking me about?
I was wondering when they had the big fishing tournaments and stuff out there.
Well, we had a fishing camp in 1966 that probably one that was with the most successful of the different amusements or the recreation for fishermen coming in. But I don't think there was anything tried before that. I don't think there was anything tried after that. And I think that was the best effort someone would give, you know, for something like that.
So when you opened that, what the fishing camp is what? Tell me about it.
Well, a fishing camp is different from just renting a boat and getting a guide or getting a crew together. A fishing camp is where you're going to stay in a lodge, and you're going to pretty much have your sporting support from morning to night. So if you get up in the morning and you want to go fishing or have a boat, you'll have a guide. You also have food, accommodations, and so forth, you know, and not unlike, I guess, if you've read the safari lodges in South Africa.
I understand.
And like this. So a fishing camp, a modern fishing camp, in that sense, was what we ran. But we only had the camp for a couple of years, and then we turned it back over to Bill and Gwendolyn, who'd owned the lease on the property.
Were you there when the Salton Sea just went right straight? Because that's what they're saying caused this smell today in Los Angeles, was the die-off of fish, you know?
Right. Well, you're asking me about...
I mean, were you there when the whole thing just fell apart?
Oh, we saw it happen. We saw, and I want to differ with you on one point that you brought up, Bill. It was not so much intended as a resort destination. I think the mistake that they made was that it was intended as a residential, that it could be a viable, some form of viable suburban community.
And serving what larger area?
Well, serving possibly San Bernardino, Riverside, or even Palm Springs on the growth projections they had at that time at the Palm Springs area. But when we lost Dave Vicker and a couple of the guides that we had, we decided that it was time for us to clear out, and that was after they'd made the decision. You know, the big builders there and the developers there, the marina, had made their decision to leave about a year before. We lost Dave. That was
and Dave was who?
David was one of our very best friends. He was a guide.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, and it was a very difficult thing to lose him, but it was a very easy thing to make that decision.
We're talking here with Jim Fine, sometimes called Happy Fine. With right now you're retired, Jim, but you had the fly fishing and different kinds of fishing camps. Dave Vicker died how?
Well, David was lost in the sea, in the Salton Sea. He was lost in the southern end by the incident that we call it the... they made a joke here. What do you want to call it? I said, I don't want to call it anything. I said, I'd like them to do something about it. But they made a joke about a kraken, you know, that kind of thing, or the lake thing is what some people...
What is the lake thing? What is that?
The lake thing is what I told the media at the time and have talked to you about since.
You believe that I didn't know that a man's life was lost, okay?
I had mentioned that to the media, yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. So this gentleman, this Mr. Vickers, has his body ever been found?
No, his body has never been found. Now, the county, San Bernardino, Riverside County, said that the body has been lost to the movement of the water, which are the eddies and the flow of the water, the Salton Sea. But the Salton Sea is very shallow. So why can't you find a body in the Salton Sea?
They never found his body?
No.
And you think that this was the result of him being attacked by some kind of oversized marine life?
Yes, by this. I have seen it, and you know that Jim Ebersole has seen it, and you know that there are people that have seen this. And I understand the reticence of anyone that doesn't want to believe the story, but the authorities here... And before you make the joke, I tried to get on the Art Bell show to tell him about this.
You're telling me that something that was a marine life of some kind, a giant sea monster.
Oh, I never used the word sea monster. I never used the word sea monster, and I would never use the word sea monster. I don't think what Dave surrendered his life to, what Dave gave his life for, is a monster. I think it is nature. You understand that, Bill? So I don't blame it. I don't blame it. I don't blame the nature that created it. And I don't blame Dave. I believe that Dave surrendered himself to nourish it. But I do believe that it was something large enough to eat a man.
And I've told you about this, and there's no, I don't think there's any secret to...
No, there wasn't any secret, and the time you told me about it...
Did you pass it off as just some old man's ravings?
No, not necessarily that, but I thought there was something what else would come of it. There would be some other proof. Can you hang on?
Yes, I can, Phil.
All right. I'm talking here with Jim Fine from Palm Springs about the sea thing. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. We're online at philhendryshow.com as well, philhendryshow.com. And if you don't have a backstage pass, by goodness, you should get one. Backstage pass gives you access to all of the audio that that we have, which basically every show we've done for the last close to 15 years, over a decade. And it's yours. With a backstage pass, you can go. You can download these shows. And to your heart's content, you can also watch our video cast archive. You can watch our video cast. Our video cast archive right now is only 5 days. But we also have 1 year's worth of video cast from our Saturday night show that we don't do anymore. And we're planning on loading in more shows there as well. We have a comment section that you can access, and I'm on there a lot, and I talk to people as much as I can. I get so burned out on the show sometimes that I just like one or two words, you know.
Yeah, a lot of times you go on there and say, "Yeah, hi, thank you." Okay, yeah, hi, thank you. Yeah, hi, thank you.
But it ain't that bad.
Yeah, well, one time we went on, Robert and I went on our seat, and you were like, "Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you."
That's all I said?
Pretty much, yeah. Well, I mean, one time you said to somebody, "Oh, you're really nice to say that. Thank you very much." And then the next one you say, "I really appreciate that. Could you tell me where that place is again? Thank you very much."
Well, that ain't the same as going, "Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you."
Yeah, but it all ended the same way.
So what? God, bud, man, that's like me saying, you know, you're fantastic, but you're really boring because your name's the same. Every time I meet you, it's always Bud.
What?
Yeah, what's that mean?
You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a normal thing to say thank you. God.
Don't get upset about it. Just saying, a lot of times, just like that's all you do is just go, "Yeah, thanks a lot." And people say, like, "Oh, I really love your show, Phil." And you're like that one lady one time. She goes, "Oh, I love you so much, and I would marry you and everything." And you're all like, "Yeah, thank you."
Get out of here! I never did that.
Yeah, you did, man. I don't even think you read a lady. She's all like, "Oh, I would have your baby and everything like that." And
nobody ever got in the comment section and said that. I got news for you.
Yeah, one time.
No bull crap. And I supposedly said what?
Yeah, this lady's all like, you know, hold on. Oh, man, I sneezed and everything.
God, you got loogie on me.
No, I didn't.
All right, hold on. Don't make a big deal out of it. He sneezed. You want to maybe cover your nose, Robert?
I did.
No, you didn't, because I got sputum on me.
Get out of here.
All right. So anyway, what?
So anyway, that lady's all, "Oh, you are great. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." All this like.
Yeah, she's like, she was all hot for you.
All right, okay, I'm done with this conversation.
No, but anyway...
I'm done with the conversation. Thank you very much. 877-876. I'm not going to talk about this crap anymore. Listen, we have on the line with us, we've got Jim Fine from the from his fishing camp there in... Oh, it used to be the fishing camp. Hold on, bud. You know, take the time. I'm telling you, turn that freaking iTunes off or I'm gonna put a fire axe through it. What used to be his fishing camp, now, of course, he is retired. We also have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is going to join us here. And we're going to talk a little bit about the L.A. bank robbery. Jim, you there?
I'm right here, Phil. I'm very, very... Yeah, I'm right here, Phil.
Okay. Jay is coming on. Jay?
If you can hold on, Phil, I appreciate it.
Whatever the laws of any state
I'm
are
right
broken,
here, Phil.
A duly authorized organization swings into action.
Phil, I'm right here.
I hear you.
Call the state police,
all right.
State troopers, militia,
yeah,
the rangers,
or the
highway
patrol. Citizens Auxiliary Police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and
what's wrong?
Have enforced
you gotta do it
and
again.
Preserved our state law.
If you don't mind, Phil, can you do that again? Phil Harry?
All right, hold on for a minute, will you? Go ahead.
You turn it off.
Yeah, turn it off because you gotta do it again.
Turn it off, then. Don't turn it up too loud.
Like that?
No, not like that. If you want to turn it off, you turn it down. What happened, Jay?
I'm right here, Phil.
Yeah, no, I understand, Jim. Hold this. line.
Well, if you have another guest on.
I do have another guest. I got Jim Fine with us. We're talking about the Salton Sea.
All right. Do you want me to call back then? Because that's not, according to the agreement that I have, well, I'm right here. If you want me to hang up.
No, I don't want you to hang up. Here's what I want to do, Jay, and what I usually do, and what I like to do, and what a lot of hosts do. I like to meld one topic into the next. In other words, I don't just go, okay, that's the end of that. Thank you. Goodbye. I want to bring on you while Jim is talking about the Salton Sea.
You know, I understand that. I just don't understand what the Salton Sea has to do with what we are speaking about, to what I'm only speaking about with you tonight, which is the bank robbery and people you had were taking that money. You know, that's... if you want me to stay on the line, I'd be very happy, but I'm not sure that I can stay on.
Okay, hang on for a minute, if you don't mind, Jim, okay?
I'm very happy to do that.
All right. Okay, so we're going to have Jim, Jim is just going to sit and wait for us to finish. Jay Santos joining us here from the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we are discussing here tonight this bank robbery. Now, the bank robbery taking place there in the city of Los Angeles, and this was a bank robbery, Jay, that actually was in Sylmar. It wound up in L.A., and it was one that netted a few thousand dollars, but they were throwing the money from the window, throwing the money out of the window of the truck, the getaway truck, as I understand it, and people were collecting this money, and they were, having themselves pretty much a good time. It looked as if perhaps there was going to be a situation there between the police and other people in keeping those people away. Did you see that?
Well, what I saw, Phil, was this: as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, we do monitor as much as we possibly can. Anything, cut down, Bill. We do monitor as much as we can anything that is going on around the city that would require police. And we saw on the television, and we monitor at any given time, Phil Lamar, about 2-3 televisions to ensure that we have the area covered and there are people who are going to be on it. Now, we are a volunteer police force, but nonetheless, we are professionals. We're on the front line of saving lives. And when we saw the Los Angeles police and we saw the L.A. County Sheriff that were sort of not handling, they're not taking care of business, They're not taking care of business. That's the term we use, to take care of the business. And
they were not taking care of business how?
They were not taking care of business in this respect, that when these bank robbers started to throw money out of the window of the truck, what was being driven through the downtown portions and sectors, people were running out of their homes and were going into the street and grabbing this money. That money obviously doesn't belong to them, it belongs to the bank. So the first thing you have to do as a police officer is secure the money and try to keep people away from it. Now, this is a bank robbery. And I hate to have to spell out the obvious to our police friends and the ones that are, always sort of getting the glory and never sometimes do the job good. And meanwhile, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, Beaver Brigade, or any of the simulated police forces across the country were left, holding on to a milk pail, as my friend Dean Slaffin says. We're standing there, we got a hand on a milk bucket, got our hand on a milking stool, and I got another hand. If I had three hands, you know where that'd be. See? Yeah. Well, Subcommander Gleason just said it'd be milking. Yeah.
Okay. That's great. I mean, but the point is what here?
Well, the point is that they were allowing people to go in the street and take money. That is part, if you are going to look at it technically, if you run into the street and grab money that's been thrown from the window of a car and that money was ill-gained by way of a bank robbery, you are yourself part of that bank robbery. Now, I know you didn't go and rob the bank, but if you take that money or show a willingness or show an inclination or indication that you want to step toward the area where that money is going to be, you are, in point of fact, liable for those monies or those dollars that are being thrown.
Well, what do you expect the police to do?
Well, what I expected the police to do, what I expect the LA County Sheriff to do, is quit trying to get you know, FaceTime on the helicopter shots and try and get their glory time on a TV and get out there and start getting scooping that money up and keep people away from that money.
You got three bank robbers that have just robbed a bank, Jay. Okay?
Now, hang on, Phil. Hang on just a minute.
What is it?
Roger, Park. I thought we had a code. Do we have a code coming in? A code double? All right. Phil... I'm sorry, I was distracted there.
My question is this. You have a bank that's been robbed. There are people that are traveling at a high rate of speed or dangerously in an SUV through a crowded part of the city. These people have committed this crime. They're armed. They've got most of the money with them. You want these sheriffs to break off the pursuit? And
no, not at all. I think that it is not unreasonable.
You want them to break off the pursuit and to start collecting money?
No, Phil, I don't think it's not. First of all, you didn't hear me probably. I don't think it's unreasonable to say to some of the officers, if you can deploy your resources properly, which in this case, not according to at least what I've seen, did the L.A. County Sheriff deploy their resources properly? You deploy your resources properly, you have police officers that are available for a pursuit, and also, okay, also... You have officers that are available to go and to keep citizens from the money that's been thrown out of this truck. Hold on. You have to turn that up. That's an alarm. We got the door alarm, Phil.
It's a door alarm where?
In the substation. We have an area where we do keep or detain people. It's not a jail because we're technically, but we use, we're using right now Al Grover's house for a substation, and he has this corner, so we've used this. The only alarm we have is the door alarm that he has that he uses for his swimming pool. In other words, when the kids go out, is there a big door alarm? Yeah.
I don't understand. You guys have you are the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You're an auxiliary volunteer agency. I understand that.
You can say we're volunteer, but don't make that sound like we're... And excuse me for saying this, but it don't mean that we're pussies, okay?
And well, I would rather not use that word. Let's take a break. I got to take a break here, okay?
But I want to come back and address that question you had of how I would deploy my resources.
I understand that. We'll be right back with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And I apologize to Jim Fine from Palm Springs this evening. He was talking about the Salton Sea. He did get into a story about how some sort of marine life out there ate or otherwise consumed a friend of his. Anyway, we'll be back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, I'm ready when you are to tell that story. So I'll ask you.
It's great. Welcome back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show on the line with me is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And we also have holding on, and I do appreciate Jim Fine from Palm Springs, that we talked about the Salton Sea. And you said, Jay, you didn't have a problem with bringing Jim on?
Not at all, Phil. I understand that the gentleman's been hanging.
So, Jim, you there?
I am here, Phil. How are you?
Good.
And thank you very much to your guest. It's perfectly all right, sir.
I just wanted to ask Jim a question, Jay, on the Salton Sea. His friend Dave Dickens, or Dave Dickerson?
My friend was Dave Dickens, yes.
All right. Was, you believe, eaten by...
I don't believe, Bill, I would not call it eaten. I think that that bespeaks an aggression that I don't think was a part of the, or still is a part of the... Of the wildlife or the marine life in the Salton Sea, a place that I love very dearly. I believe what happened is that Dave surrendered to whatever this was. Are you saying it's a creature of some kind? I believe it was, yes, Mr. Santos. Jay Santos?
Yeah, Jay Santos.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Santos. I believe that it was. If you want to call it a creature, I think that sometimes leads us to believe we're speaking of some sort of a science fiction type of animal, and that's not the case here. Well, you said it was oversized enough to eat a man. It was oversized enough to eat a man, but I don't believe it was an aggressive
I don't believe it was aggressive. I believe Dave, who I had known, was depressed. And here again, Phil, we are getting into a part of the story that I suppose is personal. You know,
I've not heard any of this.
You had, well, you read the interview in the. Did you read the interview in the local in the San Bernardino paper?
No, I did not. Are you aware of any of this, Jay?
I'm afraid I'm not. Well, it was very big news here, but.
Tell me what happened to your friend Dave. We're talking about the Salton Sea, where you had a fishing camp for 2 years.
That's correct, yes. I want to ask gentlemen if I could, sir. Go right ahead. Was it Happy Fines? Happy Fine, that is the name that I go by, yeah. All right, Happy Fine Fishing Camp. Yeah, I am familiar with it just from reading up on different... doing my reading up, you know. You were reading up on the Salton Sea? I was actually reading up on some of the Bunco file of the San Bernardino County Sheriff and the Riverside Sheriff. Bunco file. Yes, sir. Well, what he's trying to say, Phil, I guess he's being polite, is that we did have a run-in with the Riverside County Sheriff, Bunco.
That's fraud.
That's correct, Phil, yeah. But I want to continue my story. We might as well get it out in the open now.
That would be a good idea.
All right. Well, we were using store-bought fish.
You were using store-bought fish?
That is correct, yes. So we would replace the fish, or sometimes when the individual wasn't looking, I don't want to get into a very... Hold on. Do you need to get that? Yeah, I need to get it, but I want to hear your story. I just was trying to be polite. I think you're avoiding telling a story, sir. No, I'm not going to avoid telling the story. We used store-bought Corvina. It's Corvina, Phil, not Corbina, by the way.
Okay, thank you.
That one's free, even though I am being forced into a posture of humiliation here. You get that one for free. Well, Mr. Henry, he's trying to act like he's giving you something for, you know, while you're go ahead, try and say that.
Humiliate.
Why did you give him the word, Mr. Henry? Because Mr. Henry's a kind man. Humiliate, right?
Yes, yes. And I think we're really beginning to, as we often do in the show, get sidetracked. Can we get back to the story here? So you were charged with Bunco. You were charged with some kind of fraud.
Bunco also, Phil, you have to understand, Bunco is also a chronic or ongoing con game. You know, I would tell you that I do. I don't agree with that description at all. You may not, but San Bernardino Sheriff do. And that may well be them.
All right. Enough of that. Your friend was eaten by this creature.
No. Okay. I don't want to use the word eat because it sounds aggressive. That is correct. Whatever this thing is, my friend Dave, who had been very depressed, and Dave had been so depressed that I believe he went to the southern edge that night of the Salton Sea, which is down near the old marina, and I believe he surrendered, which is what the natives called it. I believe Dave went into a surrender posture and offered himself up to this thing, whatever it is, because he couldn't stand it any longer. And that's exactly what his suicide note read. And that's also, by the way, Phil, what is required of anyone surrendering to the lake thing. And
with the lake thing, this thing...
Well, I'm giving it a name because you wanted me to give it a name.
But what is the thing he couldn't stand it anymore?
I remember the story, Phil. You've got to make... Wait a minute. Tell him to go. Tell him to... Yeah, tell him I want... Would somebody listen to me? Will you listen to me? Will you listen to me? I want you guys to stay there, okay? I want you to move. Don't even move. Don't move a muscle. Wait till I go. When I say you move, then you move. Go ahead. Oh, boy, you got yourself a regular... You're really playing cops and robbers over there, aren't you? Not playing, sir. I can assure you, stop playing.
All right, so anyway, he surrendered because he couldn't stand it any longer.
That is correct, yes.
To a monster from the lake.
I didn't say monster.
I'm sorry.
I didn't say monster. It's not a monster, sir. We understand. I didn't say monster either. I said he is a thing that is entitled to his own life as he sees fit.
Even if it means eating one of your friends.
Did I
just tell you that he had surrendered himself to the... because he couldn't take it anymore?
So you go down to the southern edge of the Salton Sea and you surrender to something that is living in the water there and it consumes you, and this is all acceptable to you.
This is acceptable to anyone that believes in the regenerative effects and the regenerative license, if you will, of nature. Nature has a regeneration, and nature has the license to regenerate. Do you understand?
I'm not really. Hold on a minute. Jimmy, will you bump Spearman? You bump Lehman.
He bought what?
All right, thanks very much, Happy, because I got to get going, all right?
Yeah, well, people are left with the impression that I'm dumber than I'm crazier than a crap house rat, so that...
And we also have to go here, Jay, unless you want to hang on.
I will hang on, because I don't feel like I didn't get my full fare, you know?
Well, this ain't a taxi cab. What do you mean? Your time on the show?
Yeah, that's time on the show, yeah. Hold on for a minute.
Well, have you seen the world, Fairland?
Keelan?
Stirling?
Will you get out of here with that? We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
What language is that?
It's English. I think it's English.
Phil Hendry.